Start your day with Morning Edition and wind it down with All Things Considered, only on KPBS. From global headlines to local stories, stay informed, inspired, and connected. Tune in daily or listen anytime at kpbs.org.
Good morning, I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. It's Tuesday, October 28th. Members of Congress were again denied access into an ICE detention facility. More on that next, but first, the headlines. A funeral procession will take place this morning at 7:30 a.m. for La Mesa Police Officer Lauren Craven, who was hit and killed last week while aiding a motorist. Road closures and traffic delays are expected throughout the morning. The procession leaves from Snapdragon Stadium and will include more than 700 vehicles. It will take the 15 North to the 52 East before heading south on the 125 and east on the 94. The procession will end at Skyline Church on Campo Road in La Mesa, where Craven's funeral service will be held. A San Diego Superior Court judge on Friday rejected a lawsuit by the city of San Diego that was trying to stop the effort to have La Jolla become its own city. That's according to reporting from the San Diego Union-Tribune. Now, the San Diego Local Agency Formation Commission can move forward with reviewing the application from the group advocating for La Jolla cityhood. If the agency approves it, the decision would be brought before voters in La Jolla and the rest of San Diego. Organizers are targeting a goal of making the 2028 ballot. San Diego FC's impressive inaugural season continues on. The club earned their first playoff win on Sunday, beating the Portland Timbers 2-1 in front of a sold-out Snapdragon Stadium crowd. They will now head to Portland for Game 2 on Saturday in a best-of-three series. A warming trend is expected to begin today across the county and continue on for much of the week. We can also expect weak to moderate Santa Ana winds today and tomorrow, thus elevating fire weather conditions. The National Weather Service says much of the region will see highs in the 80s and 90s. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
Stay connected to the world around you. KPBS brings you trusted news, compelling stories, and in-depth reporting every day. Wherever life takes you, KPBS is here, on the radio, online, and on the go. Discover more at kpbs.org.
It's been a week since two members of San Diego's congressional delegation tried to enter an ICE detention facility in downtown San Diego and were denied entry. Yesterday morning, they were back with two more members of the delegation. Reporter John Carroll was there.
Last Monday, it was Representatives Scott Peters and Juan Vargas that tried to get into the federal detention facility in the basement of downtown's Edward J. Schwartz Courthouse. This week, they were joined by Representatives Mike Levin and Sarah Jacobs, but the result was the same. They were denied entry. The representatives say it's not only their constitutional obligation to conduct oversight, but also the law that they be let in, unannounced. Representative Levin held up his congressional identification card to emphasize the point.
This is my notice. That's my notice. I'm a member of the United States House of Representatives, duly elected by the people of this community to conduct oversight, and that's what we're going to do.
All the representatives say they're not giving up. They say they'll be back and try again. We reached out to ICE for comment, but didn't hear back by our deadline. John Carroll, KPBS News.
San Diego has increasingly turned to parking meters to help fund infrastructure repairs. Metro reporter Andrew Bowen says the city council yesterday voted to tighten the rules on how meter revenue is spent.
For every dollar you feed into a parking meter in San Diego, about 15 cents goes to something called a parking district. They're typically run by business groups, and recent audits have questioned whether they're just an extra layer of bureaucracy. The council decided to transfer the parking district's budgets to the city's transportation department for a two-year trial period. Councilmember Stephen Whitburn supported the move.
By pausing the community parking district program for 2 years, and letting the city manage the parking revenue for 2 years, we are giving the city an opportunity to prove that it can quickly deliver improvements to neighborhoods with parking meters.
City electricians are now set to work overtime this week to fix broken streetlights near parking meters. Andrew Bowen, KPBS News.
The cheapest housing option in San Diego has long been dorm-style rooms, but they're rapidly disappearing, and the city can't seem to turn that around. In this extended feature, reporter Katie Heisen looks at why and why it matters.
A saying hangs on the wall of Calvin Neal's room at the Hotel Churchill downtown.
I have done things that haunt me at night so you can sleep in peace.
It's one of the few remaining single-room occupancies, or SROs, in San Diego.
And I will live by the oath until the day I die, because I am and always will be a U.S. veteran.
Incense fills the small room that contains his entire life.
That's my Kuwait book. I got it when I was in Panama in the Gulf War. Oh,
wow. Neal was a combat medic in the military. He tried to find work in hospitals after he returned home, but couldn't. He worked security jobs instead, until he was laid off. He missed a paycheck and that month's rent. An eviction notice appeared on his door. He spent the next 3 years homeless. He uses the same two words to describe his time in the Gulf War as his time on San Diego's streets.
Not good. The ground was terrible. Bugs were terrible. But you know, what got me the most is how people would just walk past you. And it really bothered me. You know, how could I go from serving the country to here, and why doesn't anyone care about it?
Neal says because he fought in a war, he was fast-tracked for a veteran housing voucher and placed in this building when it opened. The city already owned the World War I-era hotel. 9 years ago, they renovated it into affordable SROs. On the scale of SROs in San Diego, the Hotel Churchill is the Ritz. It's got private bathrooms and kitchens, communal spaces, and on-site social services. The units are for veterans, transitioning foster youth, and recently incarcerated people. A typical SRO is like a dorm room. Tenants often share a bathroom or kitchen down the hall. The average size in San Diego is 200 square feet, like a one-car garage. They can be poorly managed. Because of those downsides, SRO rent is usually the lowest in the market. At the Churchill, it's less than $1,000 a month. And there are usually less barriers to renting them. No credit checks or security deposits. They are the most accessible housing in one of the most expensive markets in the country. When Neal moved into his SRO, he most looked forward to resting.
Lay down on a bed, felt really good, you know, and alone.
He says it offers peace that was impossible to find in the streets or in shelters.
Away from the turmoil and all of that, you know, it's just good to have somewhere to be. Go out into the world, have a bad day, come in here. I'm fine after a while.
He could set down things he'd been literally carrying on his back for years. Put his books on a shelf. Hang family photos on the wall. He could lock his door. Run clean water. And play music to keep his spirits up.
I think about my mom all the time because we used to get up in the morning and play music on Saturdays, and I do that here.
He says he can think better here, unpack his past.
My kids, my family, military stuff, stays in my brain for some reason.
And plan for the future. On the fridge is an oath he swore to himself when he was homeless.
Through my deeds, I will take control of my life and be the best man I can possibly be to myself and others.
Neal does good deeds in the community that's forming between tenants here.
I help them clean their apartments, take out the trash, go run errands for them. That's really makes me feel good. It helps me out too.
For the tenants lucky enough to get placed in them, SROs can be life-changing. But as the need for SROs increased, the units continued to vanish. Well into the 20th century, single-room occupancies, or SROs, were widely available in big cities. But by the 1960s, public opinion began to turn. Stacy Livingston is a researcher for UC San Diego's Homelessness Hub.
SROs had a real negative connotation. They were seen as housing that outsiders lived in, transients, folks who didn't want to work, folks who didn't want to get married.
Society labeled SROs a blight. When cities started pushing for urban renewal, they destroyed SRO buildings. Livingston says when San Diego revitalized Horton Plaza and the Gas Lamp Quarter in the 80s, it lost a quarter of its SROs at once. People were pushed out of SROs and onto the street. The so-called blight of poverty became even more visible. It was a wake-up call for the city. Council members passed an emergency ordinance in the 80s to try to preserve the SRO buildings that remained. It didn't work. By 2002, there were only 110 SRO buildings left. Research shows by 2023, that had dropped to just 35. And the city's homeless population had grown to more than 6,500 people. Livingston says the legacy of SRO stereotypes remains today.
That these are people living with substance use issues. These are people who don't really want to work or have a family. These are deeply historical stereotypes. They really don't reflect the reality of who's living in SROs in San Diego.
She says most SRO occupants are seniors and people with disabilities who live on fixed incomes, people leaving homelessness, and the minimum wage workers who keep downtown running. In the current housing affordability crisis, the city has prioritized SROs again. Mayor Todd Gloria introduced incentives for developers to build more of them. Projects that include SROs can win exemptions from certain zoning restrictions. But a city spokesperson says since those incentives passed 2 years ago, the number of new SRO units permitted is zero. I asked a local developer, Sohel Nakshab, why he thinks those incentives haven't worked yet.
I think the question you should be asking is more, is it affordable to develop anything right now? The costs are just astronomically out the roof for construction, materials, and labor. Interest rates are high. Land prices are out the roof too.
A few years ago, Naksha built micro apartments in the East Village. They're about the same size as SROs. He rents them for about $1,800 a month. Still, he says he can't even justify a project like that anymore.
If I were to build that building today, it's going to cost me 30 or 40% more than it did 3 years ago. That's a crazy hike in cost.
And forget about developers renting them at SRO rates.
They would need to go more market rate so they can survive. I mean, they've taken all this risk. They've put up all this equity. They've got investors that they have to answer to.
He says to make SROs appealing to build, the city would need to offer even more drastic incentives. No development or permit fees, even less regulation. Renovating existing SRO buildings can also be unprofitable. They tend to be about a century old. So renovation costs are high, but rent is low. Colin Miller is a vice president of real estate for the San Diego Housing Commission.
The developer will say, look, it will cost us more to renovate this building than to tear it down and build something newer, bigger, and denser.
And with higher rents. The commission wants to try a new tactic. They pitched the city council to create an affordable housing preservation fund. It would pull together government dollars and private donations to buy up properties and keep their rents affordable for the long term. The council will vote on it later this fall. The city has been trying a slew of strategies to encourage more affordable housing, fast-tracking permits, creating new incentives, funding construction directly. It is working to increase housing stock. But units the city deems affordable can rent for more than $2,000 a month, twice the rent of a typical SRO, putting them out of reach for many who have nowhere else to go. Back in his SRO in downtown San Diego, Calvin Neal looks out the window and across the street, where a new luxury condo high-rise is being built. One condo is selling for just under $2 million. The building will have a pet spa. On the sidewalk below Neal's window, homeless San Diegans figure out how to survive the day. Neal says living in this SRO, he feels something like survivor's guilt.
I think sometimes that if I would rather somebody out there got this, I think I would probably be willing to be homeless again if I could do that.
Katie Heisen, KPBS News.
Fall in Tijuana is a special time. Video journalist Matthew Bowler got a behind-the-scenes look at one of the city's seasonal treasures.
It is Dia de los Muertos, and in Mercado Hidalgo, the altar, or ofrenda, welcomes shoppers. Marta Isabel Estrada Ramirez says that on October 15, 1955, her grandfather helped to found Mercado Hidalgo, and this is the time of year to honor those who have passed on. She says only members of the market are honored in the ofrenda, and on November 2nd, they are hosting a Catholic Mass and pre-Hispanic dance performance. For about 25 years, the shopkeepers have built a Dia de los Muertos ofrenda. It started small, but it has grown to fill the gazebo in the center of their large parking lot. Estrada says this is a celebration of life through the acknowledgement of death. Estrada says this tradition isn't about praying to death. It is about living for our ancestors. Across Mexico and here in our border region, Dia de los Muertos ofrendas honor loved ones who have died, a tradition that continues to grow in popularity worldwide. Mercado Hidalgo's altar will be up through November 3rd. In Tijuana, Matthew Bowler, KPBS News.
Monday marked the start of Bat Week, an international celebration of the flying mammals and their importance. Arts reporter Beth Accomando visited the San Diego Safari Park to get some bat facts.
Bats get a bad rap. Maybe it's Bram Stoker's fault for linking them to vampires. But Marco Wendt, wildlife ambassador for the San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance, points out that out of about 1,400 bat species, only 3 feed on blood.
Most bats are insectivores. They eat insects like mosquitoes. But many are pollinators, eating fruit and nectar from a lot of the plant species found around the world.
These bats are vital for pollinating flowers and spreading seeds. Donna Kent works with Rodriguez Island fruit bats every day at the safari park. She'd like to dispel a common myth.
A bat is not going to fly in your hair unless it's a 6-foot tall bouffant loaded with hairspray and there are moths in your hair.
Kent also wants to point out the dangers bats face here in San Diego.
It would be the use of pesticides and then the light that we humans give off at night. The darker the night sky, the better it is for our local microbats who are out hunting insects for us.
Visitors can stop by the Safari Park this week or anytime to learn more about these amazing but often misunderstood flying mammals. Beth Accomando, KPBS News.
That's it for the podcast today. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
From El Centro to everywhere, we're Voices del Valle.
Voices del Valle?
Voices del Valle is a teen-produced podcast about coming of age in California's Imperial Valley.
I love Voices del Valle.
On the next episode of Voices del Valle, we will talk with teens about their cheer and soccer championship seasons. I've got to listen to that. Voices del Valle, fresh voices, bold stories made in the valley.
Voices del Valle, find us on KPBS or wherever you get your podcasts.